We know that the very fact is when we tune into the voice of God, we know he speaks to us, he counsels us, he shows us how to live. And a lot of times, I'm going to tell you, living life can be difficult. And sometimes we can get really confused. I know I get confused. If I'm not in the Word, there are times, I got to tell you, life gets really difficult. And if I don't know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, I could make a lot of mistakes. And I realized in my life when I didn't tune in to the Holy Spirit's voice, you know, that's when trouble galore can happen. And that's why it's so important that we meet together, that we take in what the Word of God shows to us so that we can truly live a life that is victorious. Amen? So why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. And we ask you, Lord God, as you just take over this time, may your holy presence just fill this place. May you truly let your glory fill our minds and fill our hearts. Because we know, Lord, our lives are not our own anymore. They truly belong to you. So, Father God, I pray, Father, as your angels have surrounded us with your magnificent power and presence, we're going to receive all that you have for us this very day. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, you know, I started a sermon series last week simply called Power. And I have to tell you, you know, when I was praying and just seeking the Lord, because I knew I had to start a new sermon series, I just kind of realized, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people, and it just seems like the devil's been really busy lately. I'm going to tell you, the devil's been attacking, you know, Christians' lives to the point where, you know, relationships are being affected. We know that people's lives are such in a state of array, you could say, where disarray, where people seem not to experience the joy of the Lord anymore. It seems like people are being attacked left and right, up and down, and all around. And you got to remember, as Christians, we are victorious. We are victorious in Jesus Christ because the very fact is he gives us power. He suffered and he died for us on the cross so that we may experience the fullness of his most awesome presence. And that's why in this series, we're going to be talking about God's power. But we got to understand, God's power, when it comes upon us, it is in us. And we know as we use the power of God within us, we're going to see whatever problems you may have, whatever difficulties may come, you know God will take care of it. It should be you as a believer believing that with all of your heart. So last week, we talked about how to release God's power within us. Well, this week, we're going to talk about God's almighty and powerful hand upon us, because you know what? His hand is upon you because your life belongs to his son, Jesus Christ. And you know, as, yes, situations may arise in your life, you know God, he already knows about it. It's up to us. Are we going to call upon the name of Jesus? Are we going to tune in to his voice and receive his power in such a way that we know we're going to stand victorious? I want you to listen to what the psalmist says about God's hand in Psalm 89. I want you to look in your notes in Psalm 89, verse 13. Won't you go ahead and read that with me? Ready? Go. You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. And, you know, when the psalmist made this statement, you kind of have to wonder why. I mean, why would he say that? Why would he kind of pinpoint the arm of God? You know, you could say, yeah, you're great and you're awesome in power. But he is saying, no, it's your arm that is strong. It's your hand that is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. And guess what? When your hand is exalted, often when we raise our hand like that, what does it signify? Victory, right? When, let's say, you're in a boxing match or you're in some kind of sporting event, you know, when the referee raises your hand, that means what? You won. You're victorious. And guess what? God, he knows. If you trust in him, your hand is going to be raised in victory because guess what? His hand is always raised in victory. When you look to him, when you trust in him, you know whatever you're facing in life, God will always bring that victory upon your life. I want you to look at that question there. It says, what must we realize about God's hand that makes it so almighty and powerful, because the fact, if we're going to tune into the very hand of God, we're going to realize, yes, his hand is not only upon us, his hand is within us to do great and mighty works. It's not so much us that will be doing what he's called us to do. It is the very power of God within us that will enable us to do great and mighty things. Well, I want you to look at number one here. It says, we must realize that his hand had formed all of creation upon the earth, and he has total and complete control over it. I want you to read that first scripture there in Isaiah 48, verses 12 to 13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first, and I am the last. My what? Own hand, God says, laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they stand up together. Wow, that is a mighty hand. That is a powerful hand. You got to understand the very fact that he laid out all the foundations of this earth upon this entire universe. It is by his very hand that he did it all. He is creator, and he created all that we see, all that we experience in this world was made by what? His hand. I want you to look at what John 1:1-3 says. Read it with me. Ready? Go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we got to understand, it is by the very hands that all things were made. Through who? Through his son Jesus Christ. And so we got to realize, yes, it is the very hands of Father God that formed and shaped and everything in this planet Earth, but it was made through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we got to realize Jesus, he is God. Because sometimes we hear people saying, oh, no, Jesus was just a great prophet. No, no, he was not just a great prophet. He is God. He's the son of God. And through him, everything was made. It was by the very hand of God. And, you know, speaking of greatness, you know, you may have heard of this king. His name is King Louis the 14th. And, you know, in 1715, King Louis 14th of France, right, he died after a reign of 72 years. And he called himself the Great, you know. And he was the monarch who made the famous statement, I am the state, which basically means I'm above the law, I call the shots because I am king. And you know, his court was the most magnificent in Europe, and his funeral was extremely spectacular. You know, as his body was laid in a golden coffin, yeah, made of solid gold, right? Orders were given that the cathedral should be lit dimly with only a special candle set above his coffin to just dramatize his greatness. You know, at the memorial service, thousands waited in total hushed silence. And suddenly the priest came, and his name is Bishop Massillon, and he began to speak. You know what he did? He slowly reached down and he snuffed out the candle with his two fingers, and he made this statement, only God is great. And here's the thing, at times we may think we are so great, right? Because of what we may have created, what we may have achieved in life. You know, you may say, oh, I have such a smart mind, you know, such a brilliant mind that I created all this through my own thoughts and through the workings of my hands. But really, are you that great? You know, because for one thing, I could have said to you, you know, I created this most awesome dish. You got to try it. It's my teriyaki furikake salmon dish. You know, and I made it before, and people go, wow, that is good stuff, Ben. You know, but here's the thing. Is that really great? Because I could have said, yeah, I made it. I created it. But let me ask you something. When was the last time you created something from nothing? Because here's the thing. Did I need all these ingredients to make this dish? I needed, first of all, salmon. And who made that, by the way? God did. And what about furikake? What about with the sesame in there and the seaweed? Who made all that? God did. You know, because sometimes we think so highly upon ourselves. I'm going to tell you, some people think, I don't need God. Look what I made. Look what I created. But you realize you couldn't have made anything without what God had created. It is only through the power, through God's mighty hand, that he made everything. Everything we see, everything we experience in this world was made by his hand. I want you to just listen to what Genesis 1 says. It's not in your notes. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. There was nothing. If you were there, right, before the earth was created, there would be nothing. It says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light. And guess what there was? There was light. He just spoke into the darkness, and he created the light. Yeah, he took nothing and made something. We could never do that. For us to say, we are that great, come on now. You wouldn't be thinking that if you realize that, you know, all that you have ever achieved, all that you have ever made in your life was made first from the very hand of God. And with all that he created, you got to understand, he has power and he has dominion over. You know, in the book of Joshua, right, we know the Israelites had faced an obstacle that prevented them from crossing over to the promised land. Because, you know, God promised that you're going to receive this land. But guess what? They came to a sudden stop when they realized there was something that was blocking them. You know what it was? Or preventing them to go over. Oh, it's just a river. Come on, who made the river? God did, right? Well, I want you to look what Joshua 4, 22 to 24 says. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God, what did he do? He dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the what? You remember the Red Sea? Oh, yeah, that's even a bigger deal, right? There's an ocean, right? When he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is what? Is powerful. And so that you might always fear the Lord your God. I want you to understand here. It says so that all the peoples of the earth, not just the Israelites, right, might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Because when something awesome and spectacular like this happens, come on, you got to attribute it to God, whether you are a believer or not. You're going to have to think in your mind, oh, there has to be a higher power to do something like this. And we know God, he does this. Because let me tell you, if you are a Christian who don't believe that God is capable, he's more than capable of displaying his power in such a way that you know it's going to be a miracle. If you don't believe this, I'm going to tell you, you're going to live your life as a defeated Christian. Your faith always has to rise above what you could ever imagine, that what God can do in your life. You got to get excited. You got to realize God can do it. And I tell you, it's not until, you know, I get to that point where I say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I believe in you with all my heart. You can restore my relationship. You can fix my broken dreams. You can do whatever you want in my life because my life is yours. And you got to have this kind of mindset to believe. It starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with me. How much do you believe that God can do it? And you got to rely on him with all of your heart. You got to believe that God is more than able to do it. And guess what? All the peoples of the earth, they're just going to stand in awe of the fact that your God can do the impossible because they see it. God is working in your life. He's working in my life. And that's why we trust in him with our whole hearts. And you know that we know for a fact that God, he will be there when we are needing his help. You know that when we are experiencing difficulties in our lives, God will show up. He will just show himself in such a way that you know he's not going to let you down. He's going to let you know how much he cares about you. Which brings us to point number two. We got to realize that his hand is mighty to help his children and those who believe in him. And who are the children of God? You and me. Because the Bible says you put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ, that makes you his child. Did you know we don't become children of God until we put our faith in his son? This is so important because the world will say, we're all children of God. Well, some of them may say it, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm sorry. That doesn't make you a child of God. The scriptures tell this to us very clearly. You become his child because guess what? That's his son. And Jesus, he's our brother, right? I mean, the very fact that we know we are all one family because we believe. We have faith to know and believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And as mighty and powerful is the very hand of God, guess what? His hand is also very gentle. It's very comforting. It's very caring because we know, yeah, his hand created it all. His hand made it all. But you know what? As mighty as his hand is there to provide you comfort when you need it. Because like I said, there are times, yeah, we can get really distressed. We can be troubled about what's going on in our lives. But God, he will be there. His hand will show his power by comforting you. I want you to look what it says there in Psalm 37, 23 to 24. Read it with me. Ready? Go. If the Lord delights in a man's ways, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. And you know, there are times, right, when we know life can get so stressful. Life can be so hard, right? It seems like our head naturally has this tendency to go down. And sometimes people say, I just don't understand why should I continue to live this life? What's the sense? You know, why should I continue to you know, give my best to God? Because it doesn't seem like anything's getting better. Well, you know what? God, he will uphold you. He will give you strength. He will give you wisdom to keep going strong. But you must look to him. You must trust that God, he will show himself to be faithful and true if you fix your eyes on his son, Jesus Christ. You know, just like any good father would do, you know, he will be there to comfort you and hold you up when times get really difficult. Yes, and sometimes very painful, okay? And I got to tell you, you know, I remember when I was in my junior year in high school, I wanted to go to my junior prom because, you know, all my friends were going and say, Ben, you got to go. But, you know, I was really shy. I was really quiet. And so I didn't know any girls, right? So I remember my friend said, but remember this girl in elementary school? I know her friend. I can get you her number, you know. And I said, well, okay, it'd be nice, you know, if I can go to my junior prom. So he got me his number, and I was really nervous. I was like, oh, I don't know if she's going to say yes. I don't know if she want to go with me, you know. And my dad, I remember, he was saying to me, don't worry, Ben. She's going to say yes. My dad saying that to me. Can you imagine, right? So after mustering all the courage I had to call her, I mean, I got to tell you, I was pacing to and fro. I was like picking up the phone and hanging it up. And I would dial like, you know, three or four numbers and I go, and I would hang it up. And I was like, oh, it's hard, man, being a guy, right, trying to call a girl. But after like, I don't know, maybe an hour, I finally called her, right? I got all the courage mustered up in me and I called her. And so I talked with her a few minutes and I was really nervous. And I think she knew this, right? And we talked about our childhood days and finally, I just blurted it out. I asked her the question, will you go to the junior prom with me? And I remember she paused for a while, and then she said, you know what? Can you let me think about it, Ben? And so I said, okay, and I'll call you back tomorrow night. So she said, okay, that's good. So I got to tell you, I didn't sleep that night. And so I called her again the next night, and once again, you know, my dad was there to encourage me. He said, Ben, yeah, don't worry, you know, she's going to say yes, you know, why would she say no, you know. Anyway, so I asked her the same question after calling her, and this time she gave me an answer. She said, I decided, Ben, no, and I hope you understand, you know, and I said, okay, no problem, bye. Just like that. It was very awkward, and I was like, oh. And I knew my dad, you know, he saw how down I was. You know, I was like, oh, suddenly, you know, as a teenager, you know, guy, you're thinking, so what's wrong with me? You know, because I'm not good looking, I'm not smart enough, or, you know, your mind just starts thinking all these things, right? And suddenly my dad kind of saw me moping around. And my dad, you know, you heard me talk about my dad before. You know, he's the kind of guy, you know, I know he loves me, but he's not the real emotional kind of guy. But he touched my arm. Remember, he did that, and he says, don't worry, Ben. There's a lot of fish in the ocean. It's her loss. That's what my dad said to me, and I'm going, okay, Dad, thank you, you know. And you know, here's the thing. He knew I was hurt. And the best way he could, as a father, he wanted to comfort me and encourage me. And now that I look back, you know, I realize it doesn't really matter that happened, because, you know, I ended up with the best fish in the ocean, with my wife, Jonali. Praise God, right? But I want you to understand this. Why am I telling you all this? I have to tell you, just like our Father God, He is there to help us through the most difficult times we face in our lives. It's just like when I know I'm just like really sad, I can feel just like maybe sometimes discouragement, I can go to Papa God like that. And just like what I experienced with my own, you know, earthly dad, it's the same feeling. It's like Papa God is almost like touching my arm, or he's grabbing me by the hand. I almost sense that so powerfully, where he's telling me, I'm here for you, Ben. Look to me. Trust in me. Papa God is here. And I gotta tell you, it's so real, because the Bible tells us this is the kind of relationship that He wants with His children. And we are His children. And you can go to Papa God like that and realize He'll be there to comfort you. He'll be there to give you what you need, so that you're not gonna let your head remain down. He will lift you up, as the Bible says, because you are His precious child. I want you to look what it says here in Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with what? My righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes a hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And that's what He says to us. He will help us. That, you know, that's His job as Father God, to help us in those difficult moments when we feel like shedding a tear. You know, we just feel like throwing our hands up in the air and say, I give up. Papa God is there to say, I'm here. I'm here. Lean on me, child. Look to me, because I love you. You know, I got to tell you, in the spring of 1924, there was this four-year-old kid. His name was Jack. And he was standing in line with his father inside the White House. And they were waiting to meet President Calvin Coolidge. And he was president during that time, right? And so as they neared him, little Jack noticed that the president was saying something to each visitor as he shook their hands, okay? And so, you know, he was like, wow, I wonder what he's saying. So, you know, as they neared him closer and closer, you know, Jack couldn't wait to shake his hand and hear what the president had to say to him. And soon the thrilling moment had arrived. You know, Jack just put his small little tiny hand in the president's hand. Then the president said these very words that Jack will always remember. You know what these words were? Move along. That's what the president said. Move along. I want you to think about that. In contrast, aren't you glad that when we come to Papa God, He doesn't tell us to move along? Because, yeah, I'm sure the president had a lot of people to meet. And I know God, He knows everyone, because He created everyone. But Papa God will never say that to you. He will never say, hey, move along, child. I got other children to attend to. Just imagine if God did that. Well, He doesn't. God is very in tune to what's going on in your life. He already knows it, but when you go to him like a little child, that's why Jesus says we must come to him as little children. It shows that you are humbled before him, that you truly desire him more than anything. And he is so personally involved in our lives, and he desires to hear from us. And he's always thinking about us, especially in times when we're hurting. You know, I'm sure, you know, when we are experiencing, you know, much sadness, much grief in our lives, he's right there. He knows. And he's there to strengthen you. He's there to give you the peace that you need so that you can continue strong in your life. And, you know, the evidence is shown in the book of Isaiah 49. And what happened was, you know, the Israelites, their enemies had come and attacked them, and they had destroyed their wall. Okay? I want you to look what it says here in Isaiah 49, 16. Look what God says. Read it with me. Ready? Go. See, I have written your name on the what? The palms of my hands. Always in my hand is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. Guess what? If God were able to allow you, allow me to look upon his palm, guess what? Your name is there. Did you know that? This is what the scripture says. Your name as a child of God is written upon the very palms of Papa God. Wow, isn't that amazing? But look what else it says here. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem walls in ruins. Guess what he's thinking about? He's thinking about his children's problems. Because, yeah, their wall had been destroyed by the enemy. And in his mind, he's thinking, I'm always thinking about that. I want to help them. I want to show them that I am there for them, that I love them so much. I want you to understand this. When you're experiencing problems, difficulties in life, I'm going to have to tell you the very fact that God, he already knows about it. But you know what? I'm sure as he sees that you're shedding a tear, as you are grieving, you know, the Bible says, it tells us that he collects our tears in a bottle. In other words, he knows what your hurts, what your pains are. He collects our tears in a bottle. And maybe the very fact he collects it so that he knows that it will always be there in this bottle, but the fact is he will bring forth healing, that he will bring forth his goodness as you trade it over, as you say, Lord, I'm not going to continue to shed these tears. I'm not going to continue just to let my pain overtake me, but I'm going to hand it completely over to you. And that's what God is waiting for, because a lot of times when I talk to other Christians, other believers, they hold on to their pain. They hold on to their grief. And yes, there are times that we have to grieve. I mean, it could be a loss of a loved one. It could be something that happened to you that's causing you so much pain. Yes, there is a time to grieve. But we cannot live our lives holding on to this pain. Amen? Because if we do, we're always going to say, I can't, Lord. It hurts too much. God says, yeah, it's about time you gave it over to me then. Because the longer we hold on to it, the longer we're not going to be able to progress forward with God. You see what I'm saying? You got to give it over. It has come a time, yes, that you're going to have a pain. You're going to have a season when you might have to suffer through it. But remember, if you're suffering through it, always go to God. Always tell God, I need you. Lord, help me. Lord, I trust in you. These are key words we must tell him because, yeah, he knows. He knows and he loves you so much. I want you to look at point number three now. We got to realize that his hand is mighty to oppose and defeat our enemies. And we realize, right, there are going to be people, you know, whether, you know, we done anything to hurt them or did we do anything to make them feel the way they feel towards us, you know, or it could be the fact that we didn't do anything. There's going to be people in this world that simply may not like you. And we got to accept that, okay, because sometimes, you know, people, they're going to think what they think. They're going to do what they're going to do. But you got to realize that when people like that come against you, God knows about this too. And if you give it over to God, you're not going to be seeking revenge. You're not going to do things to hurt the other person, but you're going to hand it over to God and say, Lord, it's yours. Help me through this, you know, if this person is giving you a hard time. And, you know, such was the case with Moses and the Israelites in dealing with Pharaoh, right? Because guess what? They were slaves in Egypt. And Pharaoh said, I will not let your people go, right? I mean, even Moses made it very clear, right, that this is God here that's saying that you know, you are to set my people free. But look what Exodus 6:1 says. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my, what? My mighty hand, right? He will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. And if you remember, right, from his very mighty hand, what did God bring? Oh, the plagues, right? The plagues upon Egypt. And I got to tell you, Pharaoh at that point, he was forced to drive God's people out of the land. Because imagine all these things, you know, all coming upon them, you know. And so we realize, you know, if you give it over to God, God's going to do what he's going to do. You know, I think we got to be careful, though, because sometimes I'll hear other Christians, other believers, you know, praying to God. They say, God, smite them, you know. Get your lightning bolt and just burn them to smithereens. No, don't pray like that, okay? Because sometimes, you know, people say, oh, but didn't David pray like that in the book of Psalms, you know, that you will defeat my enemies. And blah, blah. But you know what? You got to be careful, because when you pray like that, it does something within your heart. Because remember, Jesus is in your heart, right? If Jesus is there, you think Jesus would say, okay, that's good thought. Okay, let it just continue to come in there. No. You got to pray that, God, it's in your hands. I pray for this person, Father, that you will do what you need to do. But I pray for this person's salvation, that this person will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I mean, that's the kind of prayer we ought to be praying, right? Because we got to give it over to God. Let God be the one to take care of it. And here's another example of someone who tried to oppose the children of God. And we're going to look and see what happened in the book of Acts 13, 8 through 11. And this is a person named Elymas the sorcerer. And we're going to see what happens here. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. But Elymas the sorcerer opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. A proconsul is a government official, okay? Verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Wow. Can God do this? Well, the Word of God says he can. Not that we wish blindness upon someone, you know, but, you know, we got to give it in God's hand. He's going to do what he's going to do. You got to trust in him that he's going to show you the way to victory. You know, no matter who comes against you, God is always greater. Amen? That he will be the one to help you through it. You know, I got to tell you, you know, over 10 years of doing ministry at the park, you know, I experienced God's mighty hand upon me, you know, and upon our entire team, you know. When people try to oppose us doing the very work of God, and there were occasions, I'm going to tell you, you know, people, you know, I'd just be preaching the Word of God, and someone would just start yelling and screaming at me and tell me, shut up. You shut up, Pastor. You shut up. And you can tell they're angry. They got fists like this. They're ready to punch me out. And what would I do? Well, you know, best thing I can do, I'm not going to handle the way that is of the world, right? What do? I just start praying in tongues. And I just start going to God and say, Papa God, help. You know, just like that. I just say, Lord, help. Lord, I trust in you. I got to tell you, I remember Millie was there. It was one case, right, where the person All of a sudden, I started praying. I started praying in tongues, and I started calling on Jesus. This person, he was coming towards me, and he was ready to punch me. He just started to calm down, just like that. It was like, I go, oh. And immediately, he just sat down in the chair. He was right there. I mean, this was at the park, but the chair was right there. He just sat down on it. And I was thinking, okay, what is he going to do, you know? And he just sat down, and he listened to the remainder of the lesson without even saying a single solitary word. He just sat there, and he crossed his leg like this, right, sitting on a chair. And he just sat there, and he just kind of not going, wow, what happened, you know? And at the very end, I remember this. He just came right up to me, and I'm thinking, okay, what's going to happen now? He smiled at me. He just smiled at me. He shook my hand, and he left. And I'm going to tell you, right? You can say, oh, maybe something happened, you know, to his mind, or, you know, or maybe, you know, he just, you know, maybe heard something you said, and he just, no, I believe it was the power of God. It was the hand of the Lord. I prayed. I said, Lord, help. And just like that, I mean, he went from to and he just smiled and he left. And there were many other times, actually, this had happened, similar, you know, situations. And I knew God, he always showed up. When I trusted him, his hand somehow came. I'm not sure what his hand did, but it really showed to me that I can trust in God this way. And you know, I really believe the greater the danger that may be upon you, especially if you're doing the work of the Lord, the greater the presence of God's hand will be upon your life. I really believe this because God knows that you're serving him. I really believe his angels are there. I mean, working overtime, just working all the time, I should say, to make sure you're protected, that you're kept safe. Amen? And we got to believe that that's what will happen. The supernatural will take place when you believe in God, that you have the faith to know that God, he will not fail you. And I want you to look at this last verse in John 10, 26 to 29. And we know, right, we do have an enemy, right, that is always against us. And his name is Satan, right? And he always will work against us. He will always try to drag us away from getting closer and closer to our Father God. I want you to read with me what it says here in John 10, 26 to 29. Read it with me. Ready? Go. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep, Jesus says, right? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I want you to really understand this, because a lot of times, you know, people can miss this. You notice that there is a double grip upon our lives, because what does it say here? Jesus is talking, right? And he says, I give them eternal life. This is Jesus, right? And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Whose hand? Jesus' hand, right? And then he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You got a double grip on your life. You know, did you know it's the very hand of Jesus and the very hand of Father God that has a tight grip on your life? Because guess what? The enemy is always going to try to snatch you away. He sees you getting closer and closer to Father God. He's going to keep trying to pull you back. He's going to try to snatch you out of Father God's hand. But as long as you trust in him, as you are making that effort to draw closer to him, he can never do it. The enemy will always fail because guess what? Father God is greater. And there's no one that goes above God. And there's no one that goes above Jesus. You got this double grip upon your life. This double grip from Father God and from our Lord Jesus. The enemy can never snatch you away. Because you know why? Because you are property of Jesus Christ. You belong to him. Your life belongs to him. And that's why God will always see to it that the enemy